And so we're going to start reading at chapter 1 of Joshua, verse 1 down to verse 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful, this amazing book. And Lord, we pray that as we enter into it, and as we see your people preparing to enter into the land, and Father, as we continue to live in this land and work out our salvation with fear and trembling, we pray that this book will be a means, a deep and abiding means of grace to our souls and to our lives. Father, open it up before us this evening. We can't see without your Holy Spirit's help. And Lord, we know that words spoken without your Spirit will fall to the ground. Father, bear them up, implant them in the hearts of your people, germinate them, cause them to grow and to reap a harvest a hundredfold strong. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ever had to do a really, really big task and be absolutely terrified, scared to death? Ever had that? How many of you ever had to do public speaking in high school? It was obligatory. There was no way around it. You had to do it unless you skipped the class and failed. One of my biggest fears going through high school was public speaking. I don't know if you can identify with this. I bet you can, because people say that there are really two things that people fear: death and public speaking, and not in that order. For me, the thought of public speaking used to terrify me, used to make me ill. Even a week in advance, I would be thinking about it and getting nauseous and hoping that I would be struck with the plague before I had to do any public speaking. You have your own fears. You have your own tasks that were so big, that are so huge, that really we need encouragement to do them, right? So big, so massive, that we need somebody to come along and cheerlead us and encourage us. And we all have those things. You know, Joshua faced a task just like that. His mentor, whose name was Moses, had just died. And now Joshua was responsible for leading thousands and thousands and thousands of people, men, women, children, into a land that was filled with enemies, people who wanted them dead, people who would have thought nothing of killing them, of destroying them, wiping them right out. And this is Joshua's job: lead all these people into this land and fight and kill and conquer the enemy. That was his job. God's basic job profile for Joshua was enter, conquer, inherit the whole land of Canaan. That's a huge job. And I'm thinking that maybe he needed, like us, a word of encouragement. Is that possible? I think it is. Joshua was a man just like us. Let's not forget that. He was a great man, Amen. But you know what? He was a man just like you. Just like you. And he had his fears, and he had his doubts, and he needed to be encouraged. And so do you. Because, listen, we're living in a day which is difficult. It's hard to be a Christian. It always has been, but it seems to me that it's really hard to be a Christian. We have our struggles. We have our enemies. Day by day, we have the assaults of the evil one and the world and the sin of our own hearts. These are things that we have to contend with. We're fighting against them day by day, aren't we? And it's enormous. And we need a bit of encouragement, I think. You know, God knew that Joshua needed encouraging. And I think God knows that we need encouraging as we fight. As we fight sin in our hearts, in our lives, in the world. As we just go out and seek to live a life worth living, just like God's people did way back in those days. We need an encouraging word. And God gives Joshua, and I think He gives you and me, a word of encouragement. In fact, three times in these nine verses, we hear this expression, what? Be strong and courageous. Right, be strong and courageous. Be strong and bold. I looked up the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, and the word they have there is a word that means act like a man. And I don't know how you would take that, but I think you get this sense. You appreciate what he's saying, even if they were off. Be strong. Be bold. Be encouraged, God is saying to Joshua, to you. And then he gives three, I think, inspiring reasons why God wants us to be encouraged this evening. To be bold, to be strong, to be encouraged. The first is this, because God has promised you victory. Why? Because God has promised you victory. There is only one thing worse than defeat, as far as I'm concerned. One thing, and it is protracted defeat. Defeat dragged out. It's bad enough to lose, but you know what? Sudden loss, you can deal with it, can't you? You're playing, you lose, it's done, you get over it. What's excruciating is defeat dragged out, knowing that you're going to lose and you can't do anything about it, and it just sort of drags on to its inevitable conclusion, and you've just got to bear with it the whole time. It's painful. But there's a flip side to it, and it's this. When you know you're going to win, when you know that you cannot but win, well, that's encouraging, isn't it? Isn't that when you get stoked and excited? That's when you really want to play. You know, I think that's the way it was for the Allied troops in World War II. When Germany got nailed and sacked and destroyed, they knew that they were going to win. It was just a matter of time. That had to do something to a man living in a foxhole, right? And I think that God wanted Joshua to know ahead of time, listen, you're going to be victorious, okay? I'm sending you in, but it's not a fool's errand. I'm sending you in to conquer the land, and conquer the land you will. You're going to have success. Now, just look down at your Bibles for a second, because the whole thing is brimming with the language of victory. Get this. Every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have what? I've given you. Every place you go, it's yours. Can you imagine, you know, that kind of promise in evangelism? Every person you talk to, everywhere you go, the person's going to get converted. God's saying to Joshua, wherever you go, that land is yours. Everywhere you put your feet. I would be dancing a jig all over the land of Canaan. I would be. Everywhere. That's language of victory. What about this? From the wilderness as far as the Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the Great Sea, the whole big thing I'm giving you. It's done. It's victory. Okay, Joshua? No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. If he tries it, he's dead. Okay? And then he goes on to say this. Be strong and of good courage. Why? For this people, his people, you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers. Joshua, you're going to win. Joshua, you're going to have success. You're going to be victorious. And that's why you've got to be strong and of good courage. That's why, Joshua. You know, so often I think when we live the Christian life, we live it as though victory is just a possibility down the road. I think what God tells us here through Joshua is that we need to start living our lives as though victory is not a future possibility, but a present reality. Did you get that? Not a future possibility, but a present reality. God wants you to know that victory is yours right now, right here, right today. 2 Peter 1 says this, that God has already given you all things pertaining to life and godliness, right? In other words, He's already given you victory. He's already given it to you. It's yours already. So why is it that we live our lives thinking like it's some future reality? You know? Like the sin in my life. Like the sin in the world. Like, okay, I'll get to that, but it's going to be down the road. You know, maybe, hopefully. Nah. God says, I give you that victory right now. It's a present reality. And I think that one of Satan's greatest deceptions is to try and convince you that it's not a present reality for you in your life, but that it is some future possibility. How many of you have watched the movie A Bug's Life? A Bug's Life. It's a fascinating story. It involves grasshoppers and ants. And the grasshoppers come in, and basically they're telling the ants what to do. We want you to provide for us. We want you to store food. But when we come back and in the summer, you better have it done. And so they get to work. Well, at the end of the movie, to make a long story short, the ants have an epiphany, and they discover that they're actually stronger than the grasshoppers. And they tell the grasshoppers, look, we're not your servants. You're our servants. And they're living their entire lives as though they're slaves, when in fact they're not. They're free. And I just wonder how often we live like those ants. Like we're slaves to sin, when in fact we're not. We're free. And I wonder, maybe Satan's greatest fear is that one day we're going to wake up and have an epiphany and realize that we're not slaves to sin, but that we are free in Christ. I talked with a woman a while back. She said to me, Kiernan, I'm seeing some victory in my life over a particular sin. And I just want to know, have I overcome the sin? And I gave her bad advice. I said, no, but you know what? You keep on, and one day you're going to have the victory. What I should have said was this. Honey, you had the victory the day you came to Christ. You've just been living in deception. You've been living like an ant. You've been living like you were a slave when you were free. Because the Scriptures teach that if the Son has set you free, that you are free indeed. And maybe tonight you're getting an epiphany. Maybe tonight you're hearing that you are not a slave to sin, but that you are free in Jesus Christ to anything in your life, to anything in this world. Friend, the Son has set you free. You're free. And this has got to be our mindset as we enter into life, into this life, into our city day by day. You're free. You're free in Christ. Thank you. Be encouraged by that. Let that motivate you to go out and to live a life of holiness and to conquer sin and conquer this culture for Jesus Christ. He's already given you the victory. Now be strong and very courageous and go out and do it. Don't live like an ant. You're free in Jesus Christ. That's the first thing, the first reason why. Because God has already promised you victory. The second reason is this, because God's law needs to be obeyed. Because God's law needs to be obeyed. The name Hannibal is a name that is often associated with military genius and victory. How many of you have ever heard of the military genius called Hannibal? This man attacked the Roman army completely outnumbered. In what was probably one of the most famous battles in history, he attacked the Roman forces, not in a line, but he created a wedge, and he moved in on the Roman army. And the Roman army attacked the tip of the wedge, he drew them in, and then his flanks circled out and completely encompassed the Roman army and destroyed them, totally outnumbered. First time that this sort of thing had ever been done in history. Now the question is, what enabled the troops to do this? Especially those guys at the tip of the wedge as the Roman army came at them. It was this. They had to be strong, and they had to be courageous in order to listen and obey the rules. And because they did that, they got the success. They got the victory. And you see, God is saying to Joshua, Joshua, you have got to be strong. You have got to be of good courage in order to keep my law. There's a connection there. Follow me in this. He says, only be strong and courageous that. And if your translation doesn't have a causal link there, there's a problem with your translation because there is a connection there. There's a reason that is set forth. Only be strong and courageous that, or in order that, you may observe to do according all that the law which Moses my servant commanded you. You need to be strong and courageous to keep his will. Not part of it, but all of it. Don't turn to the right or to the left, God says. And here's why I think he said that. They're crossing over the Jordan. They're entering into the land of promise. Unique set of temptations. Okay? And God says to them, you've got to drive them out. I mean, leave no survivors. Take the whole lot right out. Destroy everything that you see. And we're going to find this out as we go through the book of Joshua, that that's what they were supposed to do. Man, woman, and child, beast, everything dies. Everything is destroyed. All is executed before God. They're to drive everybody out. And God was really clear why. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 16, God said this, you shall destroy all the peoples whom the Lord your God delivers over to you. Your eye shall have no pity on them, nor shall you serve other gods, for that will be a snare to you. Why was it that they were to drive out their enemies? Why? And all of them. Because these things would become a snare to them. And so you see, as they went in, God was saying, Joshua, I want you to be strong and courageous because this is what you need to obey and keep the law of God, because they're walking into this strange land and there are these strange people and these weird customs and all this kind of immorality, and it might have been enticing for them. It could have been a snare to them, you see. Do you get the point? Do you understand why you need to be strong and courageous? Because we live in a very appealing culture to our flesh. We do. So many temptations. Do you know what they are? You know what they are. Need I lay them out before you? You know what they are. I know what they are. I got eyes, you got eyes. We know what they are. And we need to be strong and courageous, friends. We got to be bold. We got to be the man. We got to be the woman in our culture to keep the law of God. Because there is so much that is so appealing. And so much, which if we don't hang on to it and cling to it, we're going to face opposition. But you know what, friends? That's our life as Christians. There is opposition. And what you've got to understand this evening is that no matter what the opposition is, no matter what the pressures are, no matter what the task is that is before you, no matter what the temptation may be, you've got to be strong and courageous so that you will not cater or give in to sin and it become a snare to you. And that means this, I think. You cannot for a moment allow yourself to think that there is any sin that is too powerful for you. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. And you've got to understand that the world, for all its appeal, the world for all of its power and all of its attraction, you've got to understand that stronger is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And you've got to understand that the devil, as powerful as he is a caged and chained lion. And if you are being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, you've got more power than he has. You've got more power than he has. And don't let those temptations come to you and bowl you over. No, you be strong and you be courageous. You put your feet down and you say, but I'm keeping the law of God. I'm keeping the law of God. In fact, his law is not departing from my mouth. When I speak, it'll be according to the law of God, the word of God. And as I think, my thoughts will be filled with God's word. I'm going to be his word. I'm going to just steep in His Word. I'm going to be absorbed in His Word. His Word will become my life. Like one man once said, if you prick me, I bleed Bible. That should be our lives. Because Joshua says, God says to Joshua, then you will have success, great success. Does that sound like a psalm that you know? I'll give you a hint. It's the first one. It talks about how blessed is a man who doesn't walk according to the wicked ways of the world, but his delight is in the law of God, and he'll be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, whose leaves won't wither, and all he does will what? Prosper. You see what's at stake here? You see why we have got to be strong and courageous? Especially in our day, friends, especially in this day where there is so much to tempt us, so much opposition to being a really faithful servant of Jesus Christ. God says, you be strong and you be courageous. Don't you retreat because of the world. Don't you retreat because of your sin. You stick your feet in the ground and you go forward. You be strong. Don't be a wimp, God says, when it comes to obeying my law. God's law has got to be obeyed. Second reason. Third reason, third and final reason, I'll close with this, and it's this. It's because God promises to be with you. Here's the third reason to be bold and to be encouraged, to be of good courage. If God had sent Joshua out by himself, I would imagine he would have been scared. You know, that's a big task for a man. But you know what? And you know this, that Joshua was not sent out by himself. Joshua went out with the Lord of hosts. Joshua went out with the king. Joshua went out with his God. And God said to him, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And it's going to be so great as we get into this book, because we're going to see God going with Joshua and God fighting for Joshua and his people, and God winning for Joshua and his people. We're going to see God going and destroying the enemies. And that's just the promise that God gives his people. You're not fighting this battle on your own. You think you're so often. We feel like we're fighting alone, don't we? We feel like it's us against our temptations. We feel that it's almost everything we can possibly do to resist. But you know what? We're not by ourselves. We're not on our own. You've got God fighting right beside you. Wherever you are, no matter what the situation is, no matter how great the assault, no matter how wicked the temptation, He promises to be with you wherever you go. Do you understand that? That means this. It doesn't matter what the temptation is. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter who you're talking to, what's before your eyes. That God will always be with you, friend. Always be with you to give you that victory and to help you to live a life worth living. That's His promise here. That's what God's promising to Joshua. That is His promise to you. I'm going to be with you wherever you go. And I think that means this. When your enemies come at you, when they come bearing down on you and growling and baring their teeth and snarling, you look them in the face and you remember this, that my God is with me. Even though I can't see Him right now, His Word says, I am with you and I will never forsake you. I will always be with you. Man, that's something to hang on to when we are in the midst and a heat of battle. Isn't it? My God is with me. My God has not sent me into the Christian life alone. He has sent me with Himself. He promises that He will always be with me no matter where I go. And that's a great encouragement. You know why? Because our God's got all the power. Right? I mean, who is it that looks down from the heavens and laughs at His enemies? It's Psalm 2. It's God, right? Yeah. And who can withstand the power of God? Nobody can. Who has all the power and who's got all the might? It's our God. And this God goes into battle with us. This God is with us all the time. Another really great thing about this, Joshua was a figure of Christ. He was a shadow of Christ. I mean, his name, his Jesus' name in the New Testament is Yeshua, right? It's the Lord saves. And the really great thing about the story is that as it pictures Christ, it does it so perfectly, so beautifully. Here I think is where the comfort really kicks in this evening. Because our Lord needed this kind of encouragement. You believe that? Our Lord faced the biggest task, the biggest struggle anyone has ever, ever faced. I mean, He goes against the forces of hell single-handedly and demolishes them on the cross. Who's done that? No one. No one could. He did. And He needed to be encouraged. He needed to be strong and of good courage. And for all the reasons that I've mentioned tonight, those reasons applied to Him, and He did it. He did it for us, friends. He did it for you. He did it for me. He endured the cross, its agony, its shame, to bring us to God, to hook us up to the power we need to live a holy and a righteous life, to live the life I'm talking about tonight, a life worth living, a life conquering. Romans 8, doesn't Paul say that we're more than conquerors? What's that? I don't know exactly what more than a conqueror is, but I know this, it's victory, right? And I hope tonight you're having an epiphany. I do. I hope tonight that you realize that even if you're an ant, that you're not enslaved, that you're free in Christ. I hope you understand that. And I pray tonight, and I'll be praying over the weeks to come, that as we enter into this phase of life, whatever it is, that we will remember that we're victorious in Christ. And that God is with us, and He'll never leave us or forsake us. And that He desires us to inherit blessing upon blessing. Blessing upon blessing. Well, let's go. Let's go, guys. Let's be strong and of good courage. The Lord our God is with us. Amen. Father in heaven, here we are tonight on this side of the Jordan, so to speak, and we are anticipating great truths to be taught here in Your Word. And Father, we look forward to all the magnificent stories that almost beg to be interpreted and opened up and applied. Lord, we thank You that Your Word is a word that changes us from inside out. And we thank You, Lord, for Your Holy Spirit who works that change in our hearts. And Father, we pray this evening that You would take Your Word and its truth to us this evening, and that You would, even now and even this week, bring it to mind, the things we have learned and studied tonight. And that You would give us recall. And Lord, that in recalling these things, that we would be encouraged and strengthened. That we wouldn't be afraid. That we wouldn't be dismayed, even though we face a formidable foe. But Lord, that we would attack face first. That we would set our faces like a flint. That we would be resolved to conquer sin, and to live righteously, and to live the life You've called us to live. Father, help us to do this. Be with us. We know You will. But remind us and show us how with us You are. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's conclude tonight singing a song that we'll probably sing again and again. As we go through Joshua, Psalm 84, the B selection, advancing from strength to strength. Psalm 84B.